Welcome to Speak for Yourself. I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley. That dude.
Yes, sir.
Coming up, we'll tell you if LeBron has already lost Los Angeles.
And why Kyrie Irving is sounding a little delusional. Well, we start every day with a Whitlock. What you got today, big dog?
Oh, the point of my favorite TV show, The Wire, is that the war on drugs is just a gimmick. There's no substance to it. In season one of the show, a young cop calls BS on the drug war by pointing out that wars end. I thought of that scene this morning when I read in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram that the Cowboys might give quarterback Dak Prescott a contract that averages $27 to $30 million per year. Let me be the first to unfurl the mission accomplished banner. The war on black quarterbacks is over. Anyone who says it isn't is just using the war as a gimmick to elevate themselves. It's a person who knows so little about football that playing the race card is their only option for provocative opinion. It's a person who foolishly believes their best contribution to the struggle is convincing black kids that their options in America are limited rather than pointing kids toward the obvious opportunities right in front of them. When it comes to quarterback, football doesn't care what color you are anymore. The examples extend far beyond the enormous contract America's team is likely to dump on Dink and Dunk Prescott. Right now, if you believe the NFL rumor mill, the Arizona Cardinals are going to dump their second-year white first-round quarterback, Josh Rosen, so they can draft the Muggsy Bogues of quarterbacks, Kyler Murray, with the number one overall pick. A year ago, the Cardinals traded up to get Josh Rosen at number 10. He got 1 year. He's likely getting fired for a black kid who started in college for 1 year. Baltimore's Lamar Jackson is severely challenged as a passer. He easily ran Joe Flacco out of Baltimore. Patrick Mahomes is the next big thing in football. He's the reigning MVP. Ohio State's Dwayne Haskins is projected as the number two quarterback in this year's draft. We're in the golden age of black quarterbacks. It's like when Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, George Foreman, and Ken Norton were all in their primes in heavyweight boxing. Were people in the media then arguing that prize fighting still discriminated against black boxers the way they did in Joe Louis and Jack Johnson's primes? On the field, the outlandish rewards for winning pressure the NFL to ignore outlandish and outdated biases. The scoreboard is a black player's best ally, not race-baiting media pundits who is a slave to the rigged social media scoreboard. When it comes to quarterbacks, race is far more of a factor in a newsroom, on a debate show, and especially on Twitter than inside a draft war room. The biggest discussing football for a living project their bigotry onto the people whose livelihood depends on making sound football decisions. There will be consequences for Cardinals general manager Steve Keim and head coach Cliff Kingsbury if they're wrong about Kyler Murray. The same goes for Cowboys head coach Jason Garrett if Jerry Jones is wrong about Dak Prescott. There are no consequences for the people who haphazardly generalize about the racism of the NFL and its executives. They do it under the pretense of speaking truth to power. They're fighting a war to end racism in football. No, the quarterback war ended 20 years ago. We won. The NFL is not perfect when it comes to race, but it's a lot better than the bogus media narrative. All right, joining the desk now is former Redskin D'Angelo Hall and current Redskin Vernon Davis. Marcellus, I'll start with you. The war on the black quarterback is over, yes or no?
Yes, it is over. When our own Michael Vick was released from jail and got a second $100 million contract, I said the war is over. And then I kept hearing shots. Pow, pow. I'm like, I thought the war was over. And there are a few instances where you could say maybe a little contradiction out there, maybe a little hypocrisy, maybe the war isn't over, just some of the mass fighting has ceased. Let's go to some of these instances. Top, middle of the pack, and bottom. I'm gonna give you three echelons of quarterback, and you tell me what these quarterbacks look like on the other side with the black-white conversation. At the bottom, there's a Nate Peterman out there. Oh, he is bum work. I mean, that's what we call him in locker room, bum work. 5 interceptions and a half one time. Is there a black Nate Peterman in the NFL? I'm waiting. Anybody? Okay, okay, let's go to the middle of the pack when you can fail forward. You got potential. It hasn't materialized yet. EJ Manuel, is there a white version of a fail forward? EJ Manuel.
Is there a white version of EJ
Manuel? Yeah. That EJ Manuel can't get another chance.
No, he just got signed.
No, he can't get another chance.
He just got signed.
Signed, yeah, but another chance. How long was he on the streets?
I get it, but it happens.
It happens to the white quarterback too?
Yes. Now, again, you're throwing these out.
Okay, and Aaron Rodgers, who is never your fault. Come on, Aaron Rodgers. At the top. We're at the top now, right? Aaron Rodgers, you know what? It's your coach's fault. No, it's not. It's all your teammates. Damn it, if you just give Aaron Rodgers something to work with. Is there Cam Newton gets that kind of respect?
Cam ain't won a Super Bowl, and Cam ain't Aaron Rodgers.
Cam been in the Super Bowl. And that's my point. That's my point. There's no equivalency. So there's just a shot here and there. There's a contradiction here and there. There's a hypocrisy here and there. But I'm with you, Whitlock, in full lockstep pretty much. 90-some percent. The war has ceased.
They don't care, man. I don't think the war has ceased.
Ooh, really? Has
more opportunities been afforded to black quarterbacks? Absolutely. Especially when you talk about kids that are getting drafted out of college. And that's because all of these offenses are kind of tailor-made in the college game. So you see a guy like EJ Manuel. We'll mention him. Mm-hmm. He's a guy who's from my hometown, from my area. So he's a guy who's a first-round draft pick. Heck, top five, right? Where did he go?
Eight, nine.
But first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
Top tier.
They're labeled, you know, he's labeled a bust. And he doesn't get another chance.
Yeah.
Right or wrong.
I mean, he might have. Man, stop.
Yeah, he just signed. You're right. He just signed with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But a guy like Matt Schaub, who I was drafted with, continuously gets backup roles.
And other guys get back to a Pro Bowl.
But other guys get, I feel like white quarterbacks get those backup roles a lot more. Now, the starter, you got to be great. You got to put numbers up. Cool. I understand it's not a ton of black quarterbacks in the league right now who garner starter roles. But at some point, these kids should be able to get a chance to be developed, and hence being a backup, being on a practice squad. Vernon, you've been in locker rooms. You have too. Mm-hmm. You've been in locker rooms. How many black backup quarterbacks do you see that get the time to develop and groom? You'll get a chance fresh out of college because you were a good college player. But to me, I don't see it.
I see your point.
I don't see it sustained throughout the process of guys' careers. They get ran in and out a lot faster.
I see shorter your point. I don't agree.
But hold up, Whitlock. Hold up. I have a point to make. Hold up. But I understand what you guys are saying, right? You're saying that it's the color of our skin. It's the reason why these black quarterbacks aren't getting the shot, right? What about what they're doing in the locker room? Do we know what those guys are doing in the locker room? Is it because of their presence in the locker room? Is it because they're not being the best example in the locker room? Or is it just because of what the color of their skin? What exactly is it? Can you guys pinpoint those things?
I mean, to me, it's kind of like a generational thing. Like I tell people all the time.
Geno Smith's still in the league and backing up Phillip Rivers. I'm trying to catch up.
Okay. You got maybe one or two, maybe three.
There's some guys. But keep going.
Charlie
Batch built a hell of a career.
Here's a summation.
You don't see that anymore.
The summation is the penalties are harsher for the black quarterback if he's inadequate compared to the white quarterback. That's why I say there's a Nate Peterman and there's
a
no black version.
Yeah.
One. Two, this is reflective of what society has shown us in terms of black equality. And I'm not mad at this, but I do understand that there is some issue. Here's the thing. More people of black likeness, most people of black likeness, have a better existence than before, but not all. And with the black quarterback, look, we're not in a place where we're saying you're exiled to Canada and play a different position, Warren Moon, in the 80s, and we're not in the place where we were in the 90s where there were very few. We saw 12 quarterbacks start in the playoffs this year. Almost half of them were black, five of the 12. And there were only nine starting black quarterbacks. Think about it. Five of nine starting quarterbacks that were black made it to the playoffs, which is almost half of that. But there is still a shorter leash for the black quarterback.
I disagree to the point of we spend so much time discussing the limitations and the lack of opportunity, instead of infusing young people with, no, there's actually tremendous opportunity out here.
Yeah.
And I think we're mistaken by not focusing on the opportunity, because I'm just telling you, there's so much money to be made in the NFL. Mm-hmm. that they just don't have time to sit
to
around
say,
and go,
hey,
oh,
hey, let me you're pass. Good, but I'm not going to.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me pass on Deshaun Watson. Let me pass on Dwayne Haskins. You're talking about Kyler Murray had 1 year starting.
They did
pass to go number one.
They did pass on Deshaun Watson based on what he did in his resume. That's what the conversation was. Because he could have been
the
number one overall pick. Yeah, he wasn't the first quarterback.
You know who went before him who's better than him? Patrick Mahomes.
No.
No, Patrick Mahomes.
Deshaun Watson, different years.
No, Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes in the same draft.
Same draft.
And Jared Goff, right?
Patrick Mahomes.
I know Patrick
and
Mahomes and
Deshaun Watson, same draft. Patrick Mahomes plays for the
Chiefs.
Who's
the first quarterback taken?
I'm not. They make mistakes all the time. Trubisky. Jamarcus Russell was the first quarterback taken.
Right.
They make mistakes at the top, but
they make green decisions.
Nobody's sitting around going, "Hey, man, let's not do this. Let's not run Colin Kaepernick out there in front of Alex Smith. Let's not take Patrick Mahomes and run him out there instead of Alex Smith." People are just trying to win. There's too much money to be made. And again, when I'm going to get to my central point, my jump at all point, when Dak Prescott is about to get $30 million per year.
Reportedly.
Or 25 or 24. I'm just sorry. Dak is about to get it rained on him like that.
Jerry's a little different, though. Jerry values different things, and he likes this kid. He loves this kid. I don't think every franchise in the league is going to pay Dak Prescott between $25 and $30 million. Like, I've always
said. But that's not a race issue.
And I stand beside it. Yeah.
That's a production issue.
It is to me.
But my point, if you can be dink and dunk Dak and get, come on, man.
But why are you putting Dak down?
That's because Jerry likes him.
But look at what he's done. He has the most touchdowns since 2016, as well, rushing touchdowns, well as the most wins since 2016. So you have to look at those statistics. You can't say that Dak is not, okay, he's not proficient in this area or that area, but look at what he's done. Numbers don't lie.
Yeah. I mean, Dak wins games, and that's why I want Dak on my team, but it has to
would
be for the right price. No,
would you
I will
pay
not
him pay. Would
no,
you
I will
pay
not.
I would,
and I'm one
but
of,
you want to know why?
Oh my God.
I'm one of his greater critics, but I will say this. You have to combine the production with the personality, and he fits the star. He fits America's team,
but
the coach does. If Jason Garrett can manage those personalities as well as he does in the locker room and deal with the personalities in the organization.
Is Jason Garrett getting paid like Belichick?
We're talking about Dak Prescott at the quarterback position who won't step in it. Like, he's literally in that position of leadership and balances it out with his production.
Woo!
Man,
he said it all.
Man, don't give him none of that. From a front office standpoint, would you put $30 million or $27 million in Dak Prescott, or would you like for Dak Prescott to make a round 15 to 20 and pay another? Look, we saw what he did with Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, add a guy like Antonio Brown to that mix as a guy who's garnering $12 to $15 million
but
of Dak's salary,
but
so I'm not paying Dak 30.
You're not respecting the capologist.
But I'm just saying, if you put guys around Dak, he doesn't have to be as prolific.
But even in that number, in that cap hit, you can still put people in that room. Look at the cap.
For $30 million.
Hold on, bro. I'm going to argue the cap.
Hold up.
That's over our pay.
I'm going to have to go with D'Angelo. I'm going to have to go with D'Angelo. D'Angelo has seen it all. I mean, he's been in systems where guys, you know, where the quarterback wasn't, you know, maybe wasn't good or maybe he's good. He's seen it all. We can't argue.
That don't mean you can't dress up a quarterback.
The man got a point.
To overpay him, though, Marcellus.
This is overpaying.
Y'all know what the cap has done every single. The cap just went up another $10 million.
It does.
Since 2011, it goes up $10 million per year. Think about what the average salary was when the cap was in 2011.
Marcellus.
$18 million was the highest salary.
Marcellus.
Now it's 33 and a half and growing.
I sat and listened to you talk about Dak all last season.
I said I'm a critic.
And now you sitting here thinking, 25 to 30 million
yes,
a year.
Yes, one, they're going to have the room to do it. They only have to pay DeMarcus Lawrence if he doesn't sign his franchise tag this year outside of cap. So think about this: if you go forward, the cap is going to absorb this hit. 10 more
million.
Okay,
let me reframe it.
The numbers are going up, y'all.
Let me reframe it. Dak Prescott walks into that locker room, 52 other guys. That's the $25, $30 million a year quarterback.
No, yeah, yeah.
How is the people in that locker room, $25, $30 million?
As long as you say quarterback in that sentence.
The biggest part of our cap is going to him?
Mm-hmm. As long as you say quarterback in that sentence.
Would that that would be an issue in the locker room, in my opinion.
I mean, that would definitely be an issue. And I'm looking at some of these top rated quarterback averages. And, you know, they're great quarterbacks. They'll be Hall of Famers. Some even have rings already. But do you really see Green Bay going to win a Super Bowl next year or in the next 5 or 6 years paying Aaron Rodgers $33 million? Mm-hmm. Do you see Atlanta paying Matt Ryan $30 million being able to
Two years ago, they were in it.
And if you want to pay a guy, that's the thing about the quarterback position. They pay guys for what they did, not for what they are doing or what they're projected to do moving forward.
Right.
You look at a corner. At corner, every year, your name was on the chopping block. If I was making $10 million and I had four picks instead of seven they thought or got beat for three touchdowns, we might want to can we talk about adjusting that contract?
I love you.
Quarterback position, you don't get that.
I love you, D'Angelo. That's a you problem, bro. You picked the wrong position, or God did. Look at these numbers. Does he not fit in this category? Does he not fit in the conversation with a Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo, Stafford, Derek Carr?
Not Jimmy G, not Stafford.
He fits in that world? No?
No, not even.
Not by production, not by numbers? I'm not talking about by talent. I'm talking about what you actually execute on the field.
By
I'm talking
wins, about what you going to
win. Return on investment.
By wins.
Did y'all see Jimmy G before injury last year?
All right, we gotta go.
Guys are terrible at taking care of their health. Whether it's a knee injury, bad back, or something worse, we're usually more comfortable rubbing some dirt on it than seeing a doctor. I'm guilty of it myself. Particularly when I was younger and playing football, I can remember hurting my shoulder and never telling the trainers. That turned into a real problem. The same is true for erectile dysfunction. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for ED online. Roman is a one-stop shop where licensed U.S. physicians can diagnose ED and ship medication right to your door. With Roman, there are no waiting rooms, awkward face-to-face conversations, or uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. You can handle everything discreetly online. All you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/speak, fill out a brief medical onboarding, chat with the doctor, and get FDA-approved ED meds delivered to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. That's GetRoman.com/speak. Guys, go online and get checked by the doctor. Erectile dysfunction is a problem that guys don't tackle, but with Roman, it's really easy, so take care of it. For a free online visit, go to GetRoman.com/speak. That's GetRoman.com/speak for a free online visit. GetRoman.com/speak.
All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley, joined now by a couple of NBA champions, Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. I call them Thunder and Lightskin. It's time for a big story. Sponsored by Volvo and the all-new S60. Follow no one. Ooh. Let's move to the Staples Center, where the Lakers lost to the Clippers last night in the latest battle for L.A., and LeBron might have lost the city's goodwill. With the loss, L.A. dropped to 5.5 games out of the 8th seed. At one point, LeBron had to be pushed by Kyle Kuzma to play defense, and later fans actually chanted, "We want Kobe," while LeBron was at the line.
Tough.
This is. I predicted in October this was going to be a disaster. Now it's starting to become a disaster of epic proportions.
Yeah.
He's losing Los Angeles. He's losing the fan base.
All right. I always got to keep it 100 with you. You know, I was at the game last night.
Yeah.
And,
duh.
You called
me. You were chanting.
You called me. I started that "We Want Kobe" just to divide this team, and I didn't think it was going to catch fire. I had 18-505 sitting there, "We Want Kobe." I was like, damn, this is real. Let's say this. He ain't lost L.A.
Mm-mm.
He never had L.A. Y'all got to go back. I mean, let's go back and dive into the details. When he first landed in L.A., people were like, "We want to see LeBron." Okay, we can't see LeBron. LeBron's like, "I'll go to a Blaze Pizza and meet you guys." Showed up late. L.A. wasn't tripping. They was out there around the corner. All of a sudden, right around that time, that mural got defaced. Oh, this is Kobe's town always. All right, LeBron's trying to get into the community, trying to get with these guys, but he lands, and all he does is endeavors, like three projects coming out. Okay, that's great. But now, if you're a L.A. native, if you're a L.A. Laker fan, one thing that they're always hesitant about is the transplant coming here and acting Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Because we get the bad rap as the natives. Because Inglewood, Linwood, Inland Empire, we like, we L.A. And everybody always says, no, L.A. is so Hollywood. And we're like, nah, we in Honda Accords just going to the strip mall. Man. Regular old strip mall. That's how we roll. So he landed here in Kobe's land and was perceived as Hollywood. Now you fast forward, he's not embracing his young teammates, the young core that everyone started to fall in love with, try to ship them out of town. All of a sudden, now they're a part of the family. Let's see what we can do as our team. It's not our team, because this is Kobe's team, and when it was passed to you, you didn't seem like you really wanted it. You wanted a mulligan on this year until you get what you needed, another big free agent. All that said, man, I don't think he ever had L.A., and it's starting to show.
Well, you know how fans are. First of all, let me say this. LeBron is loved by all the players. I think every player in the NBA would say he's the most humble superstar, so I don't think he's going Hollywood. Oh. What I can say.
Thank God I'm not an NBA player.
But that's true, though.
Yeah, passed out.
I've been around a lot of superstars, guys of the game. They're not as down to earth as LeBron.
That's real.
You would never seen Jordan or Kobe on the stage with Drake.
Yeah, just running
never.
Out.
Never. So that's my point. Second, you know how fans are. What have you done for me lately? Soon, if they make a trade this summer and they start next season off on a good record, all the fans be back. We love LeBron. We love LeBron. That's how fans act when their teams lose. I'm not surprised.
Mm. Bad and cleanup is tough. I mean, they both made good points. I think, what did he ever really do to get them, first and foremost? I think that as a city, as a fan of the Lakers, everyone was happy to have him. Things haven't panned out, injuries and a lot of drama. But to me, he never really had him. But then, like Jack said, winning cures all this.
Yeah.
Winning cures all. I know he's going to have a hell of a summer working out. I think really these last 15 games, he's going to come out here and show everyone who he really is, what he was saving for the playoffs. The playoffs aren't really in the picture no more. I think he's going to come out here and do what he does. But at the end of the day, you know, you win, you have a good summer, you get some good free agents, and they'll forget all about this.
Let me add this. Winning does cure. But when you're the Lakers, winning it all is the only thing
that's
to
it.
Cure.
True.
And so he come out next year and win 55 games and lose to Golden State, he ain't cured anything.
And that's why, go ahead.
And again, that's where I think there's some danger here. This is such an epic disaster and LeBron may be beloved, but man, I know the laws of the jungle, man. Everybody wants to be king of the jungle. You know, you can love LeBron all you want, but if you see him over there injured and wounded, oh, I'm gonna get a bite out of it.
If he have another season like this season next year, he better run.
Mm.
He better run, because it's gonna be hard around here.
Yeah.
It's hard around Cali if he have two seasons like
There's blood in the water. There's blood in the water. I mean, first and foremost, it's the Lakers. So anytime you get a chance to play the Lakers, whether they're good or bad, you want to blow them out. And then this chance that LeBron is on the Lakers now and they're I don't even know what to call them right now. They're lost. You know what I mean? So people are going to take them every single night, even though they know they're in the 10th spot. They're going to get team's best efforts, because believe me, they don't want to be the reason, you know, damn, Lakers beat them. You know what I mean? So every single night, they're going to get everyone's best shot, as the Warriors do.
Yeah, it's amazing how his cachet, his Q rating has dropped. Mm-hmm. And coming to the Lakers when it was supposed to be magnified. If you think about it, he's really just magnified the legacy of Kobe, and Kobe was no angel. But now people look at Kobe in all glowing terms because LeBron,
effort,
you're drinking wine. And remember Kobe?
Kobe would never do nothing.
Kobe would never just come on there and give you the symbol or the symbolism that I'm not all in and that this is not a certain standard that has to be respected. Right. And I think LeBron compromised that in part by giving people thoughts and perceptions that this is a Hollywood.
So, Jack, I mean, I'm blown away. The most humble superstar you ever know shows up with wine to a game.
Let me tell you something. On our culture, a lot of people are like, oh, that's hard, that's dope. But as a basketball player, knowing those young guys in the locker room, that's a terrible move.
Yeah.
Especially when y'all losing, that's a terrible move, because these days, these guys can't take that. So we could take that. We could take that and still play and not pay no attention to it.
We came with worse.
Right. Yeah. I came on mine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't have to carry it. So those young guys, they can't understand that. And you're right. That's not leading and that's not a good look. But for as a culture, by far, he's the most humble superstar.
One thing I'll say is you can't let this one season define his legacy or what is going on. I think the fact that it's the Lakers, everything is on steroids here. You know, this is one bad season. Kobe had bad season toward the end. Mike had bad season toward the end. I just think the fact that they thought this was going to be a perfect marriage. Some didn't, like yourself, but they thought this was going to be, you know, magic in a bottle with magic orchestrated. And chemistry takes time. And with all the injuries, all the trade deadlines, like the chemistry was gone. And that's what you see. These guys are on islands, and they don't have no chance to win when they're on islands.
I'll just say he's 34. That's one factor. But the other one, man, someone tweeted at me today all the list of the TV and movie projects LeBron got going
on. Endeavors.
And I'm just,
What does that have to, so he got to put himself in the box for y'all? Yeah.
No, you know what? That is not a problem. I support LeBron being more than an athlete. Here's the problem.
When you win it.
What happened with Kobe and Shaq wasn't just a birth certificate choice. We picked a younger star. It was the bandwidth of Shaq had stretched to a place where you started to see it affect him on the court. This is the first time we saw LeBron be affected on the court. Drinking wine, we all know. Respect. We
Shaq,
all have.
Shaq movies affected him?
No. Shaq started to get bigger.
Yes.
A little different. 2004.
They chose Kobe because Kobe was all in.
He's going to get big regardless.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's keep it real.
He got bigger. And look, it's what they would deem a distraction.
Right.
And LeBron is giving them exactly what Shaq gave him on the way out. And he's making the L.A. fan make an easy choice to go with Kobe and all of what he said.
Whitlock and Wiley joined by NBA champions Stephen Jackson and Matt Barnes. I call them Thunder and Lightskin. All right, let's return to the Lakers, where most NBA experts believe the team's playoff chances are cooked. They're in 10th place in the West and 5.5 games behind the Spurs for the 8th and final spot with just 18 games left on the schedule. That's tough math. Mm. So the question now becomes, how do you fix the Lakers next season? Conventional wisdom says Coach Luke Walton will be fired. It's obvious team president Magic Johnson needs to add another superstar to play alongside LeBron James. I don't think Tyronn Lue and Anthony Davis fix the Lakers. LA's problems are much more substantial than a coach LeBron likes and a superstar to carry the load. LeBron needs the best coach in basketball. LeBron needs Greg Popovich.
Stop.
There's talk that Pop will retire after this season. Commissioner Adam Silver, Lakers owner Jeannie Buss, Magic, and LeBron all need to beg Pop to come fix the Lakers. It's going to take something that dramatic to make the Hollywood James experiment a success.
Stop it, man. Fairy tale.
Okay, let me say this.
Fairy tale.
Pop is a loyal guy. He's not just a coach of the Spurs. He runs the whole joint, okay?
He's the Belichick.
Man, listen, he runs the whole joint, not the organization, the whole joint, okay?
Joint.
Anything that go on, Pop knows about it. What's the movie? You making any money? I need to know about it. I have to have a piece of it. Anything go on, Pop knows, okay? Pop knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Now, LeBron has admitted many a times in public how much he respect Pop, how much he would love to play for Pop. So if that type of relationship, if he got a relationship with Pop where that could happen, that's the only way. Any other scenario, don't even talk about it.
So again, LeBron could make it happen maybe.
I think he could, but don't count your eggs.
What's beyond a fairy tale, beyond a fantasy? Like, this is just craziness. This is delusional. One, it doesn't fit what the Lakers are. It doesn't make sense. So many like one. Pop loves his wine. You're going to bring him with LeBron? Them boys ain't going to ever be sober on that damn field. That boy loves him some wine. It's not the Lakers' way. You have to deconstruct the personality of this franchise. The Lakers, for many a years, when they were having the dynasty conversation, Spurs or Lakers, Kobe or Duncan, was divided by personality. Showtime 2.0 versus the Spurs way. And the Lakers used to say, we don't want to win that way. And if you look at LeBron, this is a conversation you guys could answer this question. Does LeBron want to win, or does LeBron want to be the reason they win? Because LeBron's personality and way of winning is going to be different than the way that Popovich is going to do it. I think it's just going to take a lot out of this team.
Well, one thing, if Pop came, all that stuff that we asked him to do with this team, he won't have to do. Pop's presence is going to fix all that.
What about Magic?
If Magic won't be important. Magic would be able to do his job, period. He won't have to worry about coaching or nothing in that locker room. Pop will handle all that.
You think Magic Johnson signed up to not get the credit?
Signed up to win.
Yeah.
Right. They just went.
I just told you, win and be the reason you win.
Pop's not going to come aboard if it's not his way.
Pop's not coming aboard.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Let's just go there.
It's not going to happen. This is a fairy tale. Like, Pop is not, if he's done in San Antonio, I think he's done for his career.
Period.
He may consult, he may visit, but Pop's not gonna come coach this. I don't know who wants to coach
this. Phil Jackson came here.
It was a while ago. It was early on. He still had more fight in him,
but
you know.
Phil was a traveler. Phil been around. Yeah. Pop been in one spot his whole career.
Yeah.
But listen.
Olympics.
This culture is different. The players are different.
Let me add a layer to my argument.
Okay.
The NBA is reliant on LeBron James. Their ratings have gone down this year with LeBron out here in the West and not really a factor. They don't have a replacement for LeBron right now as a ratings driver. And so if I'm Adam Silver and I'm talking about what's best for the league, I don't need this LeBron James thing out here in LA to fail. No one does. That's not good for basketball. And trust me, this is about Greg Popovich cares about the Spurs, but Greg Popovich cares about the game of basketball and the NBA.
No question.
And so if he's sitting there going, I'm retiring after this year, ain't no more championships here in San Antonio, could LeBron, Adam Silver, and the league convince him, we need to do one more thing?
Well,
we got 3 years left with LeBron, and we need to make it work. I just don't think you're going to bring Tyronn Lue and a superstar in here. And
it got to be a special situation to make Pop, because the only reason he picked up the USA stuff, he's great friends with Jerry Colangelo. They real close. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason he went that route.
Yeah.
It got to be some type of special relationship. Maybe him and Bron have it, but I don't really see it.
You got to pick a narrative. You got to think. The NBA was surging in interest and ratings the last decade or so, despite their major market teams not playing well. Philadelphia for the last decade or so, no championships, obviously. The Knicks, Boston, the Lakers, all were like at the bottom. And the NBA was going this way. Now you can't sell that as an NBA narrative. Oh, the Lakers are struggling. That's why ratings are down.
Right.
Because they were the big teams, big markets.
No,
all this.
They had a chance to get Chris Paul, and they stopped that. Don't start worrying about the Lakers now.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, it doesn't make sense.
Are y'all listening to what I just said?
LeBron. Trying to save the game.
I said LeBron. I didn't say the Lakers. The league is dependent upon LeBron. When you talk about that, the LeBron-Golden State feud did elevate the importance of the... Now we've seen that there's no LeBron in that feud. What do we have? We have disinterest. We have ratings that are declining. We have players that aren't competing all the time.
Or fatigue that Golden State is going to win the inevitable again. Like, we already know
that.
But
it's a lot of people that don't care for LeBron in the playoffs.
No.
Matter of fact,
Greek freak? Greek freak?
Kawhi Leonard? They don't care. You think my mother knows who the Greek freak is? You think she's going to stay up to midnight to watch the Greek freak?
Well,
she's going to stay up
when the freak comes out.
You need to school mom on basketball because Greek going to be the MVP. And if you don't know the MVP, you must be watching college. Because he got a good chance of being MVP.
You know what?
They got the best record in the league.
Do you remember what it was like when Michael left? You were playing in that
NBA. We're talking about right now.
No, I understand that. The league, if you think they wouldn't have done anything in their power to milk two or three more years out of Michael Jordan, but and rather than him retiring or getting old and can't play, they need
that's
to milk.
Fixing the game.
Right, pick a different cow.
That's kind of like fixing the game.
We went 10, 15 years with people pretending like Allen Iverson was the same as Jordan, and it wasn't.
I think people.
I remember that NBA Finals with Allen Iverson. Nobody watched.
I think everybody was pulling for AI. Right. Everybody. Mm. Everybody.
Mm. No, everybody but you know.
Right.
That's not.
Yeah. I guarantee it was more people going for him than against him. Mm. I guarantee.
I think expectations are too high to begin with. You mean you put LeBron. LeBron was able to make miracles happen in the Eastern Conference. The Western Conference is a bigger monster. So you put LeBron on this in the roster and you think overnight, this is going to be a championship contender. They're going to, and I think everyone got caught up in the hype. Maybe except yourself again.
You
know, we can see them playing the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. We can see them going to the finals.
Him to be in the playoffs, like he has to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, your voice went really high. Yeah, I don't know.
LeBron has to be.
But you rerun also, what I said in October.
But you also
got to
think.
This was a disaster.
To real Laker fans, we've been debating the last two or three months while I've been here where the Lakers make the. Real Laker fans don't care about the playoffs. They care about rings. So it just showed how far the Lakers have slipped as an organization.
And again, you're making my point in terms of why this is a desperate situation. Marcellus, you said it the other day, 65 years and missed the playoffs five times. This is about to be their sixth straight year. If y'all think Anthony Davis and Tyronn Lue is going to walk through here and fix that, it's going to take something drastic.
Yeah, you're right.
So how do you fix it? One solution.
You got to move the Warriors and the Rockets to the Eastern Conference. Restructure the conferences. Yeah. That's how it's going to go.
Yeah.
Why not Pop, man?
That sounds good, but it's not going
to
happen,
Does Pop want to take this Does Pop want to take this mess on? And then outside of that, what free agent wants to come into this mess? Name a big free agent that wants to come. It's going to change a lot. That's a big if, though. You know, if LeBron was younger, if LeBron was playing with Kobe, there's a lot of ifs.
I understand. I'm talking about what's a possibility. Somebody bring me a better solution
That's the not only one.
It's that's not the
one.
Only one.
That's the only
Coach
one.
Coach K?
The only one.
Not even.
No.
No. No.
And
not respecting college. No. And not respecting college. The only coach that would get that respect that they need to straighten that team out is Pop.
I convinced
them. That's it. Pop is not a bad
Everybody agrees.
No, I agree. Pop I just said it's not going to happen.
Free agent lure. LaMarcus Aldridge is.
Pop is the only one.
That Pop would bring some credibility.
Yo, we're free agents.
I don't know.
All of them come play Pop.
Whitlock and Wiley, time to get antisocial. Stephen Jackson's here with us. I think he was his Twitter off to start the segment. All right, Darnell Smith, our social media manager's here.
Whoa.
Yeah, I like that fade. That fade looking nice over there, brother.
Appreciate you. Trying to get like you, man. Yeah, trying to keep it clean.
All right, tell us what's popping, Darnell.
Yeah, we're going to get it started with somebody who's been trending for quite a while now. Antonio Brown posted on Instagram yesterday, poking fun at his bleached mustache, comparing himself to a walrus. That's pretty good, Marcel. Twitter had a field day with this, as you can imagine. Response was pretty hilarious, and one person even compared him to the Lorax.
Mm. Oh, wow.
You guys think AB is setting a new trend here?
Nah, hell nah. Ain't nobody running with that walrus that. Look.
He just in his own world. I mean, we all in our own world.
Yeah.
We all do our own thing. You know, Free is free world. Do what you do your thing, bro.
Yep. I love this, though, because he's got a little sense of humor about himself.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody, look, I got a nose ring. You got that one ear ring. Where the other one at?
My nose is like an anchor. You smell everything in the studio.
But that walrus, that ain't by choice, though, Stat.
That ain't by choice.
He chose to be just my Stat.
Right, exactly.
But that
exactly.
walrus don't have him. That walrus don't have the same liquor store eyes as AB.
And the whiskey lips.
The whiskey lips. Yeah, that walrus look better than you, AB. Get right.
Like blunt lips to me.
Blunt.
Darnell was next.
To another guy we can't stop talking about, man. LeBron James, who yesterday commented on a photo or video of Kyrie Irving and his godfather, Rod Strickland's highlights on Twitter. It looked like Kyrie learned a lot from his godfather with their moves looking almost identical. Well, LeBron decided to retweet these highlights with a bunch of fire emojis saying, "Filet game on another level." Y'all think LeBron looks thirsty here?
Well, I don't think he looks thirsty. Look, there's nothing wrong with giving you, there's nothing wrong with giving your brothers their flowers while they still can smell them. Yeah. We don't do enough of that.
Yes.
Right. We don't do enough of that.
Yes.
Now, I can see you saying that when LeBron was in the car singing Kyrie's song, Rewind, okay, then. But now he's just giving his little brother props. Why not?
Yeah, but it's the flowers that Kyrie bought when he apologized to him, and now he's giving them back.
So. You my big bro. I learned something you was trying to teach me. I learned it 4 years later. I reach out to you to tell you, bro.
That's love.
I see. You got to respect that.
I do, but what about them 4 years when you were kind of like, eh?
We want to chip together.
But you the big brother. Why you can't reach out to him in the public sphere?
That's all I'm saying.
It's a little bit of Kyrie receipt is still in this. You know what I mean?
Okay.
A little bit.
But he is one of the best players in the league.
Right.
But
you didn't retweet no other plays in 4 years?
Everybody else sorry to me.
Okay.
Awful thirsty.
Next.
Staying on the hardwood. Last night, the legendary Vince Carter moved up into the top 20 on the all-time scoring list, passing Naptown legend Reggie Miller. Everyone on social media was singing his praises, with a couple fans even referring to him as the GOAT, which may be a little bit of exaggeration in my opinion. But anyway, my question is for you. Who's had the better career, Vince Carter or Reggie Miller?
Yeah, he's the GOAT. Vince has the GOAT. The GOAT of dunking. Just like Reggie's possibly the GOAT to some people of shooting. Mm. So they're both great in their own right.
Right.
Okay. That's where it stopped.
Now, get off the fence. Don't tear your pants.
Who had a better
get
career?
Get off the fence.
Yeah.
I would have to go Reggie Miller.
Well, there's no question about this. It's Reggie Miller all day, every day.
Yeah, I will say, though,
bigger playoff games. Come on now. Bigger shots.
There is something about emotion.
Bigger moments.
What's the moment?
Vince moments, all dunks.
Y'all might not be so secure in your position. Dunk y'all keep content. Cutting me off. Here we go. There's an emotional impact on you sometimes that doesn't show up in the numbers. Vince Carter just has more energizing moments for me throughout his career.
Right.
That's just for me. Now.
Dunks.
So what you say,
like three-pointers.
Reggie scored like 30 points in 19 seconds, man.
I give you
in
that.
In the garden.
I give you
Reggie
that.
Reggie took his team to the finals, too.
I
would say Reggie Miller, but if you ask me to roll out one and say which one will represent me and my basketball interest.
Was Reggie there when you were shooting up the club in Indianapolis? Was Reggie there?
Yeah. He retired the year before.
I heard Vince Carter got a $35,000 square foot gym, like indoor gym. Is that real?
I wouldn't be surprised. He made some money.
Good Lord.
And he's still making money.
Right now, what's next?
Indoor.
Yeah, so our guys at Lock It In took the Wonderlic test, and the results came in. Take a listen.
Number one, 44 points. Clay has finally won something.
I won one.
There you go. I will say, I thought that I was going to score higher. If you were at home and watching this, go and take the test. It is not easy.
There's no way a guy like Gronk gets more than a three on this.
Who?
Like, real. Gronk. He plays for the Patriots.
All I wanted to do was score higher than Gronk, and I probably
did
that.
Whitlock, you think the Speak for Yourself crew could beat Lock It In?
No.
No, thank you. No. I took it. I got a 35, and I made the mistake that most people make is looking at it and not doing the math first. You do the reading first, you're going to mess the score
up. I'm going to use what all the brothers use when we know we're not smart enough to pass that test. Yeah. It's culturally biased.
Yes.
I'm sticking to that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I've taken it a couple of times online.
Okay.
Just online. And this is in recent years.
Uh-uh.
And it's not pretty. It's very humble.
Let me hear.
Let me hear.
What did you get? Put a number on it.
I didn't beat anybody on that list.
Jamarcus Russell? You beat Jamarcus?
No.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. No, I scored in the low 20s.
Okay.
And I was
it's
like,
tough, right?
Oh, man. It shocked me. And I was like, well, hold on, man. Yeah, no, it's tough.
Yeah, and I took it when I was 21. I would love to see now, but it's too much, man. I ain't doing that no
I'm
more.
Cool.
You good?
We'll lose. If I'm on the set, we lose. Nah, don't all take right. that bet.
It's over.
Now for Darnell's question of the day. Take it away, Darnell.
It's Darnell. This is my guy. My question of the day. My guy. My question of the day.
285 pounds. All right, guys, so the other day on the shop, 2 Chainz and Meek Mill were talking about, you know, paying your family and close friends money when you're making it within your career. So my question to you guys is, when you do make it, do you owe it to your family to support them?
Well, I'm just gonna speak from experience.
Mm.
When I made it to the NBA, my whole thought in my mind was take care of my immediate family. When I say immediate, my mom, my sister, my brother, and of course my grandmother.
Right. Yeah.
You know, my grandfather was the backbone of my family. So when he passed, that was the first year I made it into the NBA. So I felt like I took on that role to provide for my grandmother, my immediate family. What you do for the others, that's just a plus. You don't have to do that. But you have to draw a line in the sand some type of way because they'll abuse it.
Yeah, I'm with you. The same. I echoed it. A small circle of my family. Other people got some gifts here and there, but it wasn't mandated that I take care of them. But really, I try to set up a financial system that gives them their own independence. And I did it for my sister, for sure, my mom and my father. My father just still likes to work. He's like, well, I'm going to do my time. Thanks for the money. You know what I mean? So he just likes to eat up his time. But, yeah, you got to just set them up so that they can have their own freedoms and experience life as close and comparable as to you are because you made it.
Right.
I have a philosophy.
I can't wait
about
this.
Yeah. It's no different than with y'all's. But I believe in the things that I believe invested in me when I was young, I need to invest in them now that I'm
successful.
Yeah.
And so to me, it starts with my mother and father. Then it's my grandmother who passed away, Lovey Kennedy. And then it's my brother and sister. And then that's it.
Right.
Now, again, now I do for others, but that's it. My brother and sister, and they older than me. But those are the people. And then it also includes, though, for me, and this is where I get on a lot of my friends about, the institutions, the church my grandmother and mother raised me in, 25th Street Baptist Church.
Mm.
I show them love every chance I get.
Mm-hmm.
And my high school, Warren Central High School, and my college, Ball State University, I feel I owe a debt to those individuals and those institutions, and I try to pay it forward constantly.
It's crazy because I kept receipts of those who spent their time, support, gave me energy, but I got mad when they kept receipts.
Right.
So then somebody, in the fourth grade, boy, I took you to school one day.
Like, you
know,
you remember that?
What that mean, then? What you need, 1,000? Like,
right.
What that mean? So I ain't like that part.
Oh, they gonna remind you what they did for you.
Oh, my
God. They
God.
Will remind you, but you said it right, though.
Yeah, I love it.
It's who you feel obligated to.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And that's very few people in your family.
Isn't it crazy, though, when you made it, your first check? Like, my mom and dad combined, cumulative, all their earnings in their entire life, you get it on one check.
My first check, my mom didn't see none of it. It was $25,000 I got from Lil Vance from the Phoenix Suns. Me, Mike Bibby, and my brother and his sister spent 20 of it in the mall in like 15 minutes. True story.
Gator boo.
True story.
With the best
our Gucci suit. Okay, your second check. Maybe your second check.
I'm Jason Whitlock. He's Marcellus Wiley. Time to put on our thinking cap.
Shall we?
Steven Jackson and D'Angelo Hall are back with us.
Cartier.
As you all know, I'm a journalist. We've got our resident Ivy Leaguer, Marcellus, here. We're going to take a deeper look at a big issue in the world of sports. Got a special cap for Marcellus. Bring it in, Darnell.
That Darnell.
I see you, baby.
Is that cap Cartier, too?
Man, you already know how it
works. All right.
I like that. I got to complain about your Nike gear. You need to be in Adidas.
What?
All right.
Clearance.
Let's move to Kyrie Irving.
Got him.
Who is having a rough year in Boston and is now reportedly detached from the Celtics. Just don't tell him that. The point guard just went on a rant saying nobody should question his workload and complaining that he doesn't want to be a celebrity despite starring in the Uncle Drew movie last summer. But he's not the only superstar athlete looking a little delusional these days. Antonio Brown has been melting down in the media for weeks, dyeing his mustache blonde, posting weird workout videos, and saying he doesn't need football and has nothing to prove. All of this to me is predictable and expected. The more money and celebrity that gets poured into sports, the more these young guys are going to struggle. And a lot of times, again, trust me, I would have loved to have made the money, would have loved to have been a pro athlete, but to some degree, I'm happy I didn't go through that process of being young, showered with all that wealth and attention. I think it can damage you and make you a little bit delusional.
I look at these two guys as exceptions, outliers to what the general rule of when a young athlete gets money, fame, stardom, they typically do the right things with it. And I'll give you some examples, but it's funny, we're all victims of selective perception. And you see life through the lens you choose.
Right.
And it's just that simple. You could be in a bad neighborhood and see good things. You could be in a good neighborhood and see all the issues. Mm. It's just that way of life. So when you look at these couple athletes, these two, you could say, oh, that's the way it is for that generation. But I'll give you some names and examples and know a lot of these guys personally. Great citizens, great guys of character. Aaron Donald, never heard anything bad about him. DeAndre Hopkins, damn, you can't even get him to talk on the field. All these guys have gotten paid, re-signed, big money. Mike Evans, Khalil Mack. Let's go to basketball because there's more stardom there. Mm-hmm. Big Cat, Karl-Anthony Towns, other than a little issue in the locker room with his teammate, and that wasn't necessarily on Cat. We know what that story is. Joel Embiid, Devin Booker, Steph Curry, if you want to go 30 years old to 30 years old, and Russell Westbrook. These are guys that are just upstanding. I mean, and I could keep going, but it gets boring because right. more guys are doing the right things, but there are some outliers
before
that
y'all
sell
jump
the story.
In, yeah. Before y'all jump in, I just want to push back and say,
okay.
I'm 51 years old
yeah.
and dealing with a modicum of AB's money and fame or whatever attention. I struggle. Mm. And so, again, it's all just to what level. I think they're the extreme version of the struggle, but I do think fame and money create some level of delusion. So Aaron Donald may be doing all the right things, yeah. but he may have some struggles that we just don't know about.
Yeah, and that's my beef with you, Marcellus. Like, I feel like you're picking the exceptions to the rule in the positive sense.
Okay.
Like, all the guys you've named, you're right. They are exceptional people. They're the kind of people you want your kids to be like.
Yeah.
But I feel like for the majority of us athletes, we are a little delusional. And the more money you give us, the more delusional we're going to be. When I first got in the league, I was drafted at 20 years old, top 10 pick. Mm. Man, I walked in that club like, hey, man, can I get in here? Can I get in here? can we check your ID? I'm in Atlanta. All right, my ID. You know, I knew I wasn't 21, but hell, I just seen Bow Wow in here last week. Mm-hmm. So surely I can get in here, right? Mm-hmm. Nah, I hadn't made enough plays. Is what the guy told me.
Mm.
So I'm okay. I got you.
I'll
so,
be back.
You know, next week I walk in with Bow Wow and I get in the club.
That's a play.
You know, but I left that club saying, man, do you know who I am? Mm. How many times have we said that? How many times have you said that when you couldn't get in a place or somebody didn't know you or you're waiting outside too long? As athletes, we are delusional because we get that money at such a young age, but it's not just athletes. It's doctors, it's lawyers. I mean, I've been waiting in restaurants and seeing guys stepping out of Bentleys and Rolls Royces who were educated professionals feel as though their money affords them certain things that normal people, I guess they feel like shouldn't have. And so it's not just the athlete. It's anytime you give anybody money, they feel like rules don't apply to them because for the most part as a society, that's what we've been taught. Look at the president. Like, yeah. Money doesn't apply. When you have money, you can get out of a lot of sticky situations that normally you're not supposed to be able to get out of.
I'll look at it on the flip side. You know, I'm always going the other side. It's an old saying, bright lights will turn you into a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. But if Antonio Brown says, I don't need football, if he done everything right with his money, respect that. Why is it a problem?
Exactly. Yeah.
If Kyrie says, I don't want to be famous, if I want to make a movie because I created a character named Uncle Drew and make money off that movie, if I want to do that and just play basketball and not be famous, what's wrong with that?
Okay, let me ask you this.
What's wrong with that?
Respect my body of work and putting yourself on the same level as LeBron James and, you know, no one should question me. Respect my body of work. He ain't LeBron James. That's delusional.
What does it have to do with being famous, though? He said he don't want to be famous. He want to play basketball. That's all he wants to do.
I get it. But my point is, because he's been showered with so much money and attention, he feels like he's on the same level as LeBron James.
All the players in the league is spoiled. I mean, yeah, Mike Beasley going at the coach. He don't even play. Yeah, so all of it ain't just them. Yeah. The whole league is spoiled at this point.
From on a football field, in a football locker room, from that first guy who's the quarterback most likely in a lot of organizations, to that 53rd guy who's probably, you know, struggling to make a roster, who's probably going to get cut at some point through the season and brought back on the practice squad, they all feel as though that they are the best thing since sliced bread. And so, yeah, it doesn't surprise me to hear Kyrie Irving, who actually has a little, you know, has a lot of game, I should say, and has some credentials to feel as though, heck, yeah, I'm on the broad level.
Why should he feel like that? I just told you yesterday, I wouldn't
feel like that.
I wouldn't say Kobe better than me.
Right.
We all know his career and everything, but I wouldn't say that. As a man, as a NBA player who scored 13,000 points in my career, I would not say that. I know he's had a better career, he got more championships, but I wouldn't say that. He's supposed to believe in himself.
And you know something I wouldn't say, and I have to push back on you, D'Angelo? I have never uttered out of my lips to anybody in any situation, do you know who I am?
Yeah,
because you
know
what?
Never did that.
I already know who I am. And if you don't know, you know what? The party don't start till I'm there. And if the party happened and I ain't go there, it wasn't really a party. I'm always like, my confidence inside here is so grand that I ain't got to throw it on you because then, to me, that shows weakness. Yeah. So I'm not dissing you. I'm just saying, I've never been in that position where if I've been slighted, I've been like, hey, we're going to look past you, or we're gonna go somewhere else, and all I sit there and say, oh, that get back gonna be great. Because then when you finally recognize it's a different animal.
But that's why I have patience with a lot of these young kids because I was in those shoes.
Yeah,
I was thrusted into that limelight at such a young age and had success.
Yeah.
And so I know what they're going through. That's why when people beat up on Odell Beckham, like I defend him because he's the same dude who I didn't know from anybody who heard that my twins liked him and called them on FaceTime and left him a message.
Yeah.
So for me, like, that dude is going to forever be a ride or die with me because I'm going to always have his back for doing something like that. But that's what the average person doesn't see. They see the tantrums on the sideline, which, like I said, I feel as though I've been in that situation. I've done dumb stuff through my whole career. And so, you know, that was one of the dumb things. But I'm like,
oh, I knew you when you
were all
young
and immature.
I get it.
We do those.
Marcellus, let me say this, and I don't say this to, I'm not trying to say, oh, look, my way is better or blah, blah. But there is something to, you said just now that you've never said, you know who I am.
Right.
And I can say that I have, for the same thing, I've never said that to anybody.
Okay.
But the reason why is different. And it's because, literally, I make it a point to try to never be better than anybody else.
Same here.
And so it's in my mental makeup every day to remind myself, it don't matter how much money you got, it don't matter who recognizes you. And so when I go, I've had friends, particularly female friends, you need to tell them who you are. You just don't let people know who you are. And we should get a tape with Mastro's when you blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, nah, I just don't work. I don't move that way. I would rather sit and stand.
We did have the fat table when you took me to Maestro.
Every time you had the fat table. Because they start moving forward.
We had the fat table.
I remember that. Yeah, you know what's so funny? I do the same thing, and people always say that to me. And I say, I don't compare. I prepare. And I get it. So I've been in Vegas before. My table's here, and somebody in front of us, and they like, who that? And my boys hit me. Man, why your table ain't in a better place than theirs? I'm like, dog. That's not even entering my mind. But you know what? I am processing in my head, like, oh, I know I'm somebody, and I ain't got to flex that.
I lied. I lied. I have said it. Ooh. When somebody tried me the wrong way, you must don't know me. Yeah. I said it that way.
I know, but that's
a whole different lane.
That's a whole
different lane.
That's a different lane. Right.
We can't go. This is a family show.
That's different. Because we're
I always go back to
that. We're forking the road kids, man. This thing could have went off the rails easily from our upbringings and from what we had to deal with. So I think that's what keeps us humble. But yeah, I had cocky teammates.
I'd rather us have money problems than not have money problems.
How many times did we have a teammate that wasn't the best? Didn't make a ton of dough and still was cocky.
Yeah.
I played with dudes like that, so I don't know what's to blame for that dude, but there's a lot of cats like that.
D'Angelo Hall is back. Let's move to Kansas City, where my Kansas City Chiefs are looking for answers after their porous defense helped cost them a shot at the Super Bowl. New defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo is switching the Chiefs from a 3-4 to a 4-3, which reportedly means two of the team's fixtures on defense, Dee Ford and Justin Houston, could both be on their way out. There's rumors that they'll cut Justin Houston and maybe trade Dee Ford. Maybe they'll try to see if they can trade Justin Houston as well. This seems like a dramatic overhaul, and I can't wait to hear both of y'all's opinions. Is 3-4 to 4-3 and two of your top four defensive players out? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'll attack it up front in terms of a 3-4 line scheme versus a 4-3. Mentally, you just think of a more of attacking style in a 4-3, but they're interchangeable. A lot of times you see a 3-4 and they'll put a linebacker out there, you got a 4-3 all of a sudden. You put two out there, you got a 5-3, 5-2. And you can attack edges, but I think this is a smart move by them. This is a team that needs to see how can they perform better on the defensive side? And when everyone's zigging, it's time to zag, brother. They've tried it, and they had the top pass defense in terms of getting after the quarterback in terms of sacks. Tied for the league's lead. And what did that translate to?
So
what did that translate
to? Cut you
second
off,
worst defense.
But I challenge you to this point. They had the top defense when it came to sacking the quarterback, correct?
Yes, tied.
That's not going to change when you go into a 4-3. I don't think they're going to be able to generate more pressure. And to me, that's a back-end problem. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if you're in a 3-4 or a 4-3, your back-end is going to still be the same. You're going to have corners and two safeties.
Yeah.
And unless you can get those guys better in coverage and better scheme-wise to actually scheme guys up and opponents up, the secondary is going to still be the same secondary that they put out there last year. So to me, this blew my mind because I've been a part of a defense that was overhauled. We ran a 4-3 under Greg Blosch was the coordinator, and he kind of got the job from Greg Williams. So we essentially ran Greg Williams' defense. It was when we had Jim Zorn as a head coach. Jim Zorn was hired to be the offensive coordinator, and Greg Blosch was retained as the defensive coordinator because he was Greg Williams' D-line coach. Long story short, they fired that staff. We had a top five defense for about 3 years in a row. Top five. London Fletcher was the catalyst in the middle.
Got it.
Great players. Then we go to 4-3. We go to 3-4. We hire Mike Shanahan. Now I got defensive linemen who are, 265, 70 pounds, are going to be asked to play drop linebacker as a 3-4 linebacker.
3-4 linebacker. Yeah,
now,
different.
This role is different. Now you're asking Justin Houston and Dee Ford to now be hands in the ground defensive ends. And they can do it on pass downs, but it's run downs.
So you like the move. You think they should move on from
it? I don't like the move because of personnel. They have
stay in the 3-4.
I think you got to stay in the 3-4 because this is an overhaul project that's going to take 2 to 3 years to get the right personnel.
But that's part of the overhaul. You're going to change the personnel. Let's be respectful. Dee Ford had a tremendous season. Justin Houston, good, but his better days were a little
distant. He was hurt.
Yeah. So when you look at this, you're going to start to say, who fits this? A 3-4 DN can be more of an anchor, more of a fire hydrant. Then a 4-3 guy, we need you to get upfield and play the running game sometimes on the way to the quarterback. I just think that they had to change it up. They had a defense that had the most sacks in the NFL.
Like said,
and the second worst defense. Let's change it up.
Like we said, you're not going to get better getting rid of really good football players in the National Football League. So if you're talking about changing my scheme, that's what's wrong with coaches. Coaches come in and they want you to do what they do best. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, you are a coach. You push a pencil. You line guys up. Like, I'm a player. Let me play. Put me in position to be a really good player. And teams don't do that. Teams don't put their players in position to make great plays. And by doing this,
But you also don't expose the linebacker group the same in pass covers. Think about it. In the 3-4 system.
They cover a lot more.
Exactly. You could cover a lot more. So maybe that's going to help out in the secondary. But I understand you're saying it's a personnel shift and it's a philosophy shift. But why go back out there and throw the same thing at them?
Well, because I think here's what I D'Angelo's point is that I sort of agree with to some degree is like your two best players or your position of strength is these two guys rushing off the edge. And your real problem is
not
the
even
secondary.
With them. Yeah.
And so you're not, you've gone from 3-4 to 4-3. That's not fixing the secondary.
Ain't gonna fix them dudes in coverage.
You've weakened your pass rush and you haven't corrected your secondary. So let's say you have less of a pass rush. You're going to expose your secondary
even more. If that secondary wasn't very good with the pass rush they had, they don't stand a chance no matter what they playing on defense.
Yeah, but let's be respectful that their best pass rusher was neither one of these guys. It was Chris Jones, right?
Chris Jones.
So,
interior, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it came up the middle. So now if you put them in a system where you're saying a 4-3 and you can put them on the edge or you can say we could move them down. Bruce Smith used to do this. He went from 3-4 to 4-3. You still can have an impact because you can find a weaker offensive lineman to exploit that. I understand what you're saying, but I just think that you got to give them something different in terms of support up front.
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval rating for LeBron James. I'm sorry. I keep saying Uncle Jimmy. Uncle LeDon James.
LeDon. Don Mega.
Thank you. Tell the people again how happy you are to have me here. Tell them again. Right.
Very happy to have you. What are you sipping on, man?
This is something from my private Cleveland stock. It's I call this a Ode to Gerald LeVert.
What is that?
LeVert?
Ode to Gerald LeVert.
LeVert sweat up in there? That's great. I love how you age.
It's a private Cleveland stock. You'd have to understand.
Is that going to age too? You going to get some salt and pepper down here or just up top?
It happens when it happens. Keep living, right. Keep living, youngster.
Here's a highlight from our discussion earlier about LeBron James.
He ain't lost L.A. Mm-mm. He never had L.A. People are like, we want to see LeBron. All of a sudden, right around that time, that mural got defaced. Oh, this is Kobe's town, always.
Winning does cure, but when you're the Lakers, winning it all is the only thing
that
cures.
Mm.
And so he come out next year and win 55 games and lose to Golden State, he ain't cured anything. All right, Uncle LeDon, what's your take on your boy, LeBron James?
So glad you asked.
Boy, but go ahead.
Last Friday, my lawyer and I had the opportunity to visit the Staples Singers. Staples Center. Yeah. And to take in a competitive bout between LeBron James and the Greek Freak. Mm. And I have to say that it was truly a captivating experience from my vantage point.
Oh, where were you sitting? In the rafters? You sitting up there?
Au contraire, mon frère. I was sitting courtside, had a lovely conversation with Penny Marshall and Denzel Washington.
Penny Marshall dead, right?
Yeah, Penny Marshall's dead, man.
Lost Penny, man.
And you're trying to say this means I can't have a conversation with her through spirit?
That's spirit.
And one more time, if you interrupt me again, you will be joining her. Now, where was I?
You were telling us about LeBron James, what you thought of LeBron.
Yes, LeBron. There are things that I can share with LeBron as an older man that he would probably at this stage of his life find use as he reaches this stage of his NBA golden years. I'm sure by now he's noticed that he's experiencing far more frequent trips to the restroom in the middle of the night. You understand, to relieve himself?
Depends.
Perhaps he's finding out that his bowels have become far more irritable after a big meal, or maybe even after a big bowl of Frankenberries. These are just inevitabilities of time, and sometimes it can be lactose intolerant.
No, he ain't that old. He's 34. He ain't 74. What you talking about?
What did I just tell you about interrupting me, Marcus?
Just adding. Just trying to work with you.
NBA years are like dog years. You have to multiply. LeBron is old and getting old as we speak. This is his 16th season. Mm-hmm. He may as well be 60. Right now, I have to say he needs to consider a performance enhancer. Maybe one of those trips to Germany like Kobe.
Ah, that worked.
Or maybe he needs to have a a couple of packets sent to the house like Peyton Manning's wife did.
That was for her.
Stop it, man.
Oh, did a hit dog just holler? Hold on, what was that now?
Stop.
Listen to me, y'all, very seriously. This is not a moment of time that LeBron can let pride stand in the way. It's time for the little blue pill. I can speak on behalf and say that the little blue pill has reinvigorated my love life. I've never performed better. I feel 18 again. I'm performing for 4 hours now.
Whoa, hell no.
And this can do the same thing for LeBron.
Oh, poor lady.
Well, wait a minute. On second thought, maybe LeBron needs to take a half a pill. He ain't playing but a half a game now. Ain't no sense in wasting it. You know what I mean?
Hey, oh,
he ain't no Uncle LeDon.
We got to get to our approval rating. Where's my approval rating?
They say I'm the Barry Bonds of lovemaking.
I'm down to a 65 for LeBron. 18 job performance took him up a little bit. 23 all-time greatness. 16 character. I've dropped him for authenticity. He ain't about this life.
Right? Yeah, I'm with you there, too. I had to drop my man, the King James. I know I'm an apologist. I love you, but, ooh, there's a lot of missteps right now. The fake embrace of this team post-trade deadline because you didn't get what you really wanted. Not fully engaged on both sides of the court, all that. It's trending down. I told you before, his Q rating is going down since he's been to LA.
Look at that. Those are our approval ratings from the beginning of the NBA season to now. Not a good look for LeBron.
Nah, man. Went from GOAT status to just lost.
Yeah, scout team, role player. All right.
All right.
Great job, Marcellus. Great job, LeDon.
Hey, everyone. Jason Whitlock here. Thank you for listening to the Speak for Yourself podcast. I want to tell you about another podcast from Fox Sports that we're very excited about. It's Waltrip Unfiltered, featuring two-time Daytona 500 winner Michael Waltrip. Michael will be speaking with the biggest names in NASCAR each week and discussing the biggest storylines in the sport, like Daytona 500 winner Denny Hamlin. Episode 1 is available already. Subscribe and listen to Waltrip Unfiltered right now. Let's get the show rolling.